Welcome to the Dream Views podcast, where we address and answer your submitted questions. We are your hosts, Sinister Dez.
And I'm Ophelia Blue.
And today we have three questions in this episode. Question number one, how to become aware of dream signs which do not show up in real life and thus cannot be RC'd on by Steffel. Question two, how come some lucid dreams are more vivid and others are dull? The M-Maker 7. Question three, if you had to give one piece of advice to a newbie, what would it be? Burke. Question 1, how to become aware of the dream signs which do not show up in real life and thus cannot be RC'd on, Steffel.
All right, that's a very good question, Steffel. I'm really glad you posted that, because I've got a really great remedy for this, because a lot of people, incidentally, do have dreams about things that just are not going to happen in real life or would really, really, really rarely happen in real life. I'm going to use an example for me. A very common dream sign is a tornado, which, you know, I could witness in real life, but the chances are really unlikely. And unfortunately, I do have a lot of dreams where they're non-lucid and they involve a tornado. And only two of the zillions of times I've had a non-lucid about a tornado, only two times I actually became lucid. And the first time was my very first lucid dream ever when I was 8. So, you know, I didn't really expect to be successful with that. But the last time was actually a few months ago. And it's because I've been thinking about it, and this little technique that I sort of developed is based on Oreo Boy. He had like a daydream awareness technique, and what I sort of modified it to incorporate rare dream signs. And so basically, what you do is during the day, you imagine, let's say it's a tornado, you imagine that you are dreaming non-lucid about a tornado and imagine yourself becoming lucid from it. Imagine, you know, the moment that you go, hey, this is a dream, and realize that it's not real. Accept that it's not real, because a lot of times what happened with me is I'll be dreaming about, it's so such a repetitive dream sign for me, but I'll dream about the tornado, and I'll even say, golly, am I dreaming? Like, no, this time it's real. And I think part of the reason, too, for dream signs like this that are very rare, you know, let's say you're dreaming about a volcano or tornado or monsters or magicians or really incredible things like that, I think it tends to overload your senses a little bit. Like, you become just so in awe of everything, or you're very emotionally connected to it, and it's very difficult to become in a rational state of mind when that's happening. So by practicing this little daydream technique during the day, imagine yourself in a dream, you see the tornado, you see the dream sign, and you keep a very rational frame of mind and question it. God, is this really happening or am I dreaming? And you know what? This has got to be a dream. And just accept that it's a dream. Have that lucid feeling. You know that feeling you get when you have the rush of lucidity. Go through that process. Go through that whole transition of non-lucid, seeing dream sign, reality checking it, and then becoming lucid. And the more times you do that, I really believe that it will help help you identify the dream sign for real the next time you dream it, and then attain lucidity from it. That's my professional advice.
All right. I like that. I can kind of relate to Steffel, because one of my dream signs is lightning, and lightning is not the most common thing in Colorado. We get a lot of snow and stuff, so... I can kind of relate imagery. It's a very powerful tool, and I think what Ophelia said is very it's very accurate. I think you could use that to your advantage. So for question two, how come some lucid dreams are more vivid than others, and some are dull, and what causes this?
That's a really loaded question, because there's so many different possible reasons for that. I've listed three of them because they're the ones that I kind of stumble across the most, either with myself or with other dreamers on the forum, that they kind of seem to stumble over the same things. The first one is probably the most important one, and we probably cover this on every podcast, that's schemas, or you fall into the unfortunate pattern of psyching yourself out of something before you've started the dream, before you've even gone to bed. Like, one example, and this is something that even DreamViews has been guilty of for years until quite recently, which is believing that the moment you become lucid, you have to stabilize. Well, what if you don't stabilize very well? Does that mean that's it? You failed? You can no longer continue with the lucid dream? You have to stop? You have to give up? You have to wake up? It's over? I think a lot of times we tell ourselves these things, and then we believe them so hard that we sort of set ourselves up for failure. And I think a lot of dreams that are visually impaired, or you can't hear them properly, or you can't feel things properly, are because you've made yourself believe that the very start of the dream is going to be crazy and wild and all over the place and messed up and no control. And the only way to get control is to find an anchor and stabilize. And I find that merely just starting the dream out, like once you get lucid, you know, that's going to be an emotional moment, obviously, because you're like, lucid, yes, you know, to just kind of breathe, you know, if you like to do things like look at your hands, just kind of feel yourself, get in the moment, feel extra aware of like of your senses, stabilization will just happen naturally, especially if you go immediately to whatever your preconceived goals are. Like, let's just say you wanted to do a task of the month or a task of the year, or you have a set of a personal lucid goals that you want to try and do, or even if it's just, you're just like, whatever. However the dream starts out, I'll go with the flow. I'll just kind of go with this dream. You know, I'm in the middle of the Ozarks. Let's just, you know, hike up the mountain. You know, you're not going to spend a lot of time or energy changing the scenery. Whatever your goals are, I think just if you just concentrate that on that at the very beginning, the dream just kind of falls into place, because now you are in a rational state of mind. You're not fretting over stabilization. You're not worried that it's not going to be clear or vivid enough. You know, you're not going to be emotional and distraught and frustrated from the beginning. You're becoming solution oriented, and that's the rational side. And I think that helps a lot. Another thing, and this is actually something that Des pointed out, so I hope I'm not walking all over you here. Aww. But you mentioned induction methods, and for kind of a different reason than I did. I mean, like, I know that you, and well, you know, you'll go into detail on this later if you want, but how a lot of people do say this, that if you wild versus dialed or mild or whatever, that the dream is going to be a lot more clear and vivid. And I think most of the time this is true. It's not true for me. I don't know why, because I just have to be backwards with everything, I guess. But when I dialed, which is a dream induced lucid dream, you know, you start out a dream non-lucid and you attain awareness, the dream is already set up. You know, I already believe that this is real life, that I'm in a real world, a real environment. This is real life. Then I become lucid. The setting's already there. Everything's already clear. Now I can just kind of add to it, you know, add an adventure to it. I find often that when I wild, I always start out in my bed, and it's always a battle between, is this, you know, false awakening is going to happen? No, I'm dreaming. No, I'm not. No, yes, I, you know, and I think that just maybe it may just be my personal schema that I just kind of start out too confused and it doesn't work out the way I want it to. So, you know, whatever your preferred induction method is, if you do multiple different ones, just, you know, whichever one gives you the clearest dreams, you know, go with that one. And, you know, for now, until you can figure out, you know, how to reduce schemas and things like that, or get more sleep or better your diet or health or whatever to get your dreams more clear. And the last one I had was REM cycles. Probably the longer REM cycles are going to be responsible for the more intense and vivid lucid dreams. And as they get shorter, the shorter ones, you know, that you don't have enough time to really soak up the setting and things like that. Like, especially with de-aisled chains, dream chaining, they're so quick and short. You're going in and out and in and out of the dream. You know, maybe there's not a lot of time to really do anything with it. So maybe those may be less satisfying than some of the longer REM cycle lucids. And that's all I got on vivid dreams.
Oh, that's all? So, like Ophelia said, wild. When you start off wilding, most people say that it's more vivid than most lucid dreams, since there's no lapse in consciousness. You're going straight into the dream scene, which, you know, it's a good thing, but apparently it's backwards for Ophelia. So I completely agree with her whole REM cycle and how the later ones are going to be more vivid, I guess, in a way. You'll be a little bit more aware, because my dialeds, That's when I get most of my adults is later in the REM cycle because they get longer and longer and longer, and I find that that's when most of them are the most vivid. And as far as dull, can't really give you anything there, but you don't have enough awareness. And, you know, focus more on in putting yourself inside the dream world, putting in all five of your senses. You know, dream. Yes, that's all I got actually.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. When you're in the dream, and this also sort of is an auto-stabilizing kind of thing. I hear this all the time. Incorporate all five of your senses. You know, where are you? What room are you in? What color's the wall? Is it day or night out? You know, incorporate all your senses because this will connect you into your dream world and put you in a more like, you know, rational scientific method approach to the dream, you know, rather than, ooh, I'm lucid, ooh, what do I do now? You know, and I think that in itself does tend to stabilize things more, but yeah, whatever. At the same time, it doesn't hurt to go with the flow. You never know what your subconscious is going to drop down on you.
Definitely. So, question three. If you had to give one piece of advice to newbie, what would it be? Burke.
Awesome question. I remember exactly the first piece of advice I got when I joined the site. Over, God, has it been 10 years this June? Mercy.
Congrats.
thanks, I think.
It's a good thing. Be proud.
Yes. And this is just even great advice for people who just, even if you just want to increase your dream recall in general. And that is start a dream journal. I preach this all the time. I say that I preach this all the time because I do. And it's great for several reasons. I mean, it's kind of a multifaceted thing to help you get lucid. You know, just saying, "Oh, I'm gonna write my dreams down. That's gonna make me lucid." Maybe. But what it does is it helps you identify. Well, you first improve your recall. It helps you also identify dream signs, which you can use for reality checks if that's kind of your way of getting lucid. If you know, reality checks during the day and you get real, if you're really great at you, reality checks don't help you get lucid. It's the awareness you attach to it is what helps you get lucid. Now, if reality checks are the way that it works for you, great. It did for me in the beginning, and then I just realized, oh, it's sort of just the awareness I'm putting with the reality check that's helping me get lucid. So cut out the middleman. But still, it's a great tool for a beginner, and that's what this question's about. It's for beginners. Find those dream signs, figure out how to turn them into a tool to help you become lucid. And then my third thing was awareness. But most importantly, when I mentioned improving your dream recall, it is entirely possible, believe it or not, to forget a lucid dream that you had. You forget non-lucid dreams all the time. People say, "Oh, no, you can't forget lucid dreams because you're so aware." Well, that's not entirely true because I have had lucid dreams where, you know, I had them maybe, you know, after I wake back to bed pretty early in the morning, and then went back to sleep because I didn't have to get up for work or anything, and slept for several more hours. Woke up, start my day, completely forgot about it, and the only reason I know that is because way later on in the day, something would trigger the memory. I'd be like, "Oh, that's right, I had that like 10-second lucid. You know, I realized I was dreaming, and it was quick or whatever, and I forgot about it." So if I was able to recall a forgotten lucid dream at the end of the day, have I not recalled some lucid dreams in my lifetime? Probably. So, and that was, yes, at a time that I wasn't journaling, obviously. Hello, I went back to sleep for several hours. I woke up, I didn't journal anything then, I didn't journal anything when I woke up. So it's easy to get lazy with it, I know. I'm not saying that no dream journal means no lucid dreaming, but dream journaling, I believe, really does enhance the lucid dreaming experience. Either your lucid dreams are better and longer themselves, or you have more of them, or you forget fewer of them. All those things together is what makes, you know, lucid dreaming just a really great hobby. You want as many tools as you can to help you get there, to help you remember them, to help you have more fun in them. So, yeah, dream journal.
Yes, completely agree with all that. But you know, sometimes in the morning you're like, should I write it down? No, I'm gonna
I
sleep for
know
four
it's
more
hard.
hours. And you wake up and you're like, oh, I should have written it down. So all I have to say is you must learn the correct ways to do all the techniques and methods and make sure you are doing things correctly. And don't build bad habits, like not writing in your dream journal. That is a no-no. Get as committed to it as possible, because it will help in the long run. I have like a 300 to 400 page dream journal that I got in the beginning of January, and I have 3 dreams in it. Yeah, it's been like 3 months, so I should probably get on top of that. And but to be honest, go ahead.
I was like, don't you have another one, though, that is, like, ridiculously full?
Yeah, I have a 100-page one that I should probably just go and insert onto DreamViews and just go ham one night and just start posting everything. But, where was I? Yes, write them
no
down.
No bad habits.
Yes, it helps in the long run. It will. I remember when I was actually journaling, which I probably should, it helped very much with recall. Recall is... It's a good thing to learn, or improve, I should say. So, we've gone over 3 questions so far, you know, pretty much done. You know, how to become aware of dream signs, which do not show up in real life, why some dreams are more vivid and others are dull, and the advice for newbies. So, I probably should have mentioned this. I'm a new dream guide. I'm Sinister Dez.
Yay, congratulations!
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have put that at the end. Sinister Dez.
Oh, hey, I wanted to add something too about dream journaling. You know, if you just for whatever reason, if you're just not going to be getting up and writing anything or typing anything, and even if you're like a lot of times I'll go to work a couple hours early, and I'll sit there and. So it's later. It's later than you should, you know, for journaling. But whatever I remember, I'll go ahead and type up in my dream journal on DreamViews real quick. And I find that does help a lot. It's better than nothing. But what actually my boyfriend has been doing, and he has never had a lucid dream. He recalls so few dreams. But what he's been doing lately, because obviously I talk about dreams a lot in real life.
Probably don't end the hear the end of it.
Probably. But he started talking to me about the dreams. Like he takes me to work in the mornings. So, you know, we'll wake up and I'll be maybe thinking about my dream, or, you know, I might tell him about it, or I'm planning on writing it down when I get to work. He started talking to me about his dreams in the morning. And as he's been doing this, it's been improving his recall. He remembers more details now, as long as he sticks to it. I noticed that he falls behind when he doesn't do it. But when he does it, it's like every day he'll remember more and remember more and remember more and more details. And I'll even it's about like a half hour ride to work. So I'll say, hey, okay, you remember, was it daylight out? You know, what color clothes were you wearing? What color clothes was I, or what dream characters were wearing? You know, focusing and trying to memorize all those different little details, it not only helps improve your recall so that you can attain lucidity, blah, blah, blah. But what I was talking to Dez earlier about this when we weren't recording, which is how to get your awake self more in tune with your whatever, subconscious dream self, however you want to do it. You know, like in the daytime, thinking about dreams, thinking how you're going to be in dreams and how you're going to approach your goals in your dreams. That's kind of like your awake self talking to your dream self. Now, when you're in a dream, you can actually, and I've done this before, in the dream thought, okay, I got to remember to journal this. I got to remember this keyword and that keyword and remember that color of that thing over there and, you know, this stuff. I want to remember this. Or like the lucid dream I had the other day where I actually wrote a stupid, stupid song. And I was like, oh, gotta remember this.
This and, is gold.
Yeah. I'm gonna make millions. No, but I really wanted to remember it because it was so funny and ridiculous and actually rhymed. And I wanted to make sure I carried it over into the, you know, waking life. And then your dream journal is that big link between the two. That's like your dream self telling your wake self a really cool story. And you don't want to forget it. And then your wake self can go through this journal and look for dream signs and look for which induction method is working better and which reality check is working better and which, you know, what things am I doing in the dream, in the lucid dream, that's working for dream control and which aren't. And then that is what communicates to your dream self again. keep that communication going and cycling over and over again, and it really does enhance your lucid dreaming experience. So, and the dream journal is the way to do it.
Yep. By the way, if you don't have friends or anyone to talk to and you're antisocial like me, you can get an audio recording program on like either your phone or if you have time in the morning on the computer, and you can talk to it about your dreams, and then you write it down later. Sometimes you get some weird stuff. Like one time I had a dream and it was really early in the morning, and I had an audio recording of it, and I listened to it later. Apparently I was hanging out with someone named Joey. I have no idea who Joey is, so that was weird. But yes, audio recording programs are nice. And as far as that dream journal is all you really, that's the only connection you have between waking life and dream life. It's the only thing you can bring back from your dreams, so it's probably a good thing to write it down. So yeah.
This is true. I did try to bring, somehow in a lucid dream once, I was fully convinced I might be able to bring this really, really pretty sort of velvety fringed ottoman, footstool thing back with me into real life, but it didn't work.
Imagine if you could, though. Like, imagine so the cool possibilities.
I know,
I remember,
right?
My dad and I had a conversation about that when he was a kid. He would, like, dream about putting a stash of money under his bed, and then when he woke up, it would be there. And he's like, if I could do that, I would forget about the money. Think of the possibilities. I'm like, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Just imagine
cool
all the crazy stuff he could bring back.
If only. Man. And I have a sad example of that too, because I remember when I know I'm gonna go there because I'm going on tangents now. But when I was in college, I had this cat that my mom killed. Oh. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening to this, but you did. I had a dream shortly after that he'd go outside. He was a little tomcat. He liked to prowl, and I'd go outside. I'd call him. For some reason, I end up with cats in real life that come when they're called, like dogs. The one I recently had to put to sleep, Ziggy, you could take him to the park like a dog, and he'd stay with you and come when he was called. He was amazing. That's but anyway, amazing. Kramer would go outside and, fart around, and I'd be, Kramer, Kramer, and he'd come up to me, meow, meow, and I'd pick him up, and he would just nuzzle me, and it was such a wonderful moment. Well, in this horribly evil torture dream made up by my subconscious, I went outside, and called him, and he came up to me, and I suddenly became lucid. I was like, oh, Kramer, that's right, you just died. And I grabbed him, and I held on to him, and I'm like, I'm going to carry him back over into real life. I can do this. And, like, right as I was waking up, he turned to dust, and a gust of wind blew his dust everywhere. And, oh, it was so depressing, but I wrote it down. That's why I remember it today.
Also, those dreams just like that where you never become lucid and you think you can bring something back and you get so excited and you think it's all real, and then when you wake up, you're disappointed.
It's a bummer.
You're like, ah, damn.
Yeah, I had one like that once where I was uncovering tombs in Egypt, ancient Egypt. It was non-lucid, but oh man, I came across just heaps of gems and jewels, and I was just up to my earlobes in this stuff, and I was like, this is great, this is great, this is great. And then I woke up and I was like, God dang. Gummit.
Definitely. That's exactly what you said.
I was 8, so I probably said something like, darn.
Well, darn. If only, Ophelia, if only.
Well, I think we could probably wrap it up now. Yeah. You want to mention the Q&A thread?
Oh, yes. You can post your questions in the Q&A thread that Canis Lucidius posted many months back. I'll be looking at it every day. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yes. Any questions that you have? There's a lot of questions that haven't been answered yet. We're going to try and hammer them out between the three of us on this official unofficial podcast team. No, it's official. It's official, right?
It's official enough.
It's official. Post your questions. We'd love answering them. It really helps us think. Really helps us improve our ability to dream. Not only for ourselves, but to help others as well. And we'll try and get all those questions answered that are already there. I know there's quite a few, but don't worry about that. Feel free to come up with your own, and we'll try and get them answered in the order that they come, but probably more likely it'll be in the order that we want.
true.
And it's under, it's in, whatever, general lucid dreaming, under podcast form. It's a sticky thread, you know, submit your Q&A questions, or, you know, submit ideas for how to improve the podcast or whatever. Join, cooperate, commit, you know, get involved any way you want. And that's all I got to say. What, anything else you got to say, man?
Yeah, hopefully we'll be trying to do these more often, if that's all right, I guess, with you, Ophelia. There's like a couple months between them, so.
I always want to, and then something.
Yeah, it's true. We've been planning this all week.
But hey, then, we did good. We did good.
We finally got it done. I'm proud. I feel like we've accomplished.
Your idea was conceived, and then it birthed like less than a week later. That's like a world record, I think, for podcasts that I'm involved
in. That's sad.
The busy life of Dreamview staff. But anyway, all right. Thank you so much for listening, and sweet LDs, y'all.